back to football in just a moment, but the MLB trade deadline is tomorrow, Pearl. We've already seen a little bit of movement here, and to get the latest and greatest, let's welcome in our pal Mark Feinsand, MLB.com senior national reporter and MLB Network insider. Mark, thanks so much for the time today. How you been?
I'm good, guys. How are you? Long time no speak.
I know. We're doing great. You know, before we get to the trade deadline stuff, just a moment to touch on Ryan Sandberg, who passed away, the Cubs legend, the Hall of Famer. And I'm curious, when something like this happens, a guy who we're so familiar with his career, but when he passes away, were there any other like stories or, you know, something you learned about Ryan Sandberg that you had never known before that, you know, maybe our audience might be interested in after people were sharing all their condolences yesterday?
So most of my experience with Ryan Sandberg was as a fan growing up in the 80s, one of the great players, obviously, of his generation. The thing I found most fascinating in hearing all of these tributes to him over the past few days was White Sox fans talking about him being the pride of Chicago during that time. You know, the Cubs and White Sox have, and their fans have no love for each other, but it seemed like Sandberg was one of the few guys on the Cubs side that, you know, generated that much respect from the other side, that even White Sox fans were saying this is such a huge loss for Chicago. And I think that told you about how he sort of transcended things outside of the walls of Wrigley Field.
You know, he's famous in Philadelphia too, Mark. He's the one the Phillies got let get away. Every team has that, right? The one trade where they always look back and say, oh man, for the Phillies. I don't know. There probably is a, that'd be a great photo gallery of guys who got away. All right, trade deadline, Mark. And so before we get into the players, what's the team out there that you expect to be most aggressive before Thursday night, 6 p.m. Eastern?
Well, I think you look at the teams that are contenders but feel like they have a hole or two they need to fill between now and Thursday night. The Phillies are certainly one of those teams. Even with the signing of David Robertson, I think they know they need more bullpen help if they're going to you know, be a serious threat in the National League. It's such a top-heavy league with the Dodgers, with the Mets, the Brewers, the Cubs, and the Phillies that, you know, those five teams really are going to examine themselves very carefully. The Brewers are not a team that gets super aggressive. They hold on to their prospects. They have payroll constraints. So I don't know that they're going to be as aggressive, but I would expect the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Phillies, and the Mets to all be very aggressive in going out and getting what they need.
We're talking with Mark Feinsand of MLB Network, MLB.com. You know, the Emmanuel Class A news. He gets put on paid leave Monday. He's being investigated in a gambling probe. Also, his teammate Luis Ortiz. But let's stay on Class A for a second because he's one of the best closers in the game. How does that investigation now and this whole drama, how does that change what the Guardians may do, their outlook on this trade deadline? I mean, just how big was that news, not just for him, and we can talk about gambling and sports, but for him and for the trade deadline?
Yeah, it was pretty big. I mean, I'm not sold that they were going to trade him anyway, because he is controllable. As you said, he is one of the best closers in the game, and the Guardians are not a team that usually just throws caution to the wind and goes for something. That said, he was out there, and he was a guy that teams were talking to. And once he went off the board, and essentially this paid leave through the end of August takes him out of the trade mix, you know, that boosted up the value of some of the other closers, especially the controllable ones. Duran in Minnesota, Griffin Jackson, another reliever in Minnesota, David Bednar in Pittsburgh, you know, Mason Miller in with the A's. If you want to consider him a trade candidate, I think it's going to take you know, just a monster deal that very few teams are going to be willing to offer to actually pry him away right now with the 4+ years of control that he has left. But I think it definitely will impact the market because it took a big name off of it. Ryan Helsley, a rental reliever from the Cardinals who won the Trevor Hoffman Reliever of the Year in the National League last year, his price tag went up because, again, once you take a big option off the market and you have one of those top closers, you're going to ask for a little more. So I don't know that Class A was getting traded, but this story certainly has impacted the reliever market. And as we see every year, relief pitchers will account for 60 to 75% of the trade that we see between now and Thursday evening. Because, you know, if you have, look at Eugenio Suarez, right? Great player, great power. A lot of teams want him, but there's only 4 or 5 teams that need a third baseman. So the market is limited. All 30 teams out there, or at least all the ones that are trying to contend and buy, every one of those teams could use a reliever. So You know, no matter how good your bullpen is, it can always be better. And so that's why the relief market is going to really be a big thing over the next, 36 hours or whatever the number is that I've been trying to count down in my head.
All right, Mark, you mentioned Suarez got hit by a pitch earlier this week, the Diamondbacks third baseman. What are you hearing about how that market has developed? Is there any fear out there about the finger, which they reported is not broken? But do you think that affected anything as teams line up to try and get him?
I think for that hour and a half in between him getting hit and leaving the game and having the x-rays, and then yesterday he had an MRI or CAT scan that showed there was no damage. I don't think the hit by pitch is going to impact anything. Right now, the asking price for him is sky high. And right now, let me just clarify, the asking price for almost everything right now is sky high. Deadlines create urgency. And so that's why tomorrow, as we get into the final hours leading up to the deadline, those prices will start to come down a little bit because teams will realize, well, if we don't lower them, we're not going to trade these guys. And, in the Diamondbacks case, then you're probably going to end up just losing Suarez for nothing, to free agency. So I think he is still a hot commodity. There are not a lot of big power bats on this market. And the Diamondbacks are asking for the moon and the stars. At some point, they'll probably just settle for the moon. But I think right now, those prices are still pretty high. But you look at some of the contenders that need third baseman, the Mariners, the Tigers, the Cubs, the Phillies have looked at him as like a DH type, maybe move Schwarber out to left field. There are some big teams in the mix for Suarez. The Yankees took themselves out of it with their trade for Ryan McMahon, but all the rest of those teams that were in on him remain in on him.
Mark Feinstein with us for a few more minutes here, MLB.com senior national reporter and MLB Network insider. Mark, which MLB front office is under the most pressure to make a move by Thursday's deadline?
Well, 2 days ago, I would have said the Cubs because Jed Hoyer was in the final year of his deal, but he just signed an extension, so that urgency is probably gone. I might have said the Yankees, not that Brian Cashman was in trouble, but just because there was urgency for them to fortify that roster to get back to the World Series. Now Aaron Judge is hurt. We don't know what's going to happen with that, so that might be a little bit of a hiccup for them. I'd probably say the Mets. The Mets are a team that spent $750 million on Juan Soto this offseason. They're in first place right now, but they've got the Phillies hot on their heels. They've been jockeying up top with them all year. They need to add some pitching, probably one starter, a reliever or two, center fielder. So there are some holes there for them to fill. And with the expectations that come with a roster like they have and a payroll like they have, they need to stay aggressive. And that's not always David Stern's MO, but I think it has to be here in the next day and a half.
Mark, just want to follow up on Aaron Judge for a minute. You mentioned he's going to just the 10-day IL right now. But, the Yankees' history of handling injuries with some of these guys, especially Judge, remember how long it took them to diagnose his thoracic outlet, where he had the broken collarbone? No one could figure out what it was. How dicey is this situation right now for Judge and the Yankees?
I'm not sure it's dicey, Maggie. I think when you're talking about Aaron Judge, who's arguably the best hitter in the game, if not the best player in the game, it's hard to put anybody over Ohtani when he's pitching. But certainly one of the most dangerous hitters we've seen in a generation. Considering how much money the Yankees have invested in Aaron Judge at $40 million a year for the next 6 years, I think after this year, they're not going to mess around with this. If they think he's going to re-injure himself or he's in any danger, they're going to take their time. Remember, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, before his free agency, or maybe the first year after his free agency, he slammed into the wall at Dodger Stadium and had a toe injury, and that kept him out for 2 months. So they're not going to rush him back. That said, if they think he can hit without doing any damage, and we've seen guys come back from Tommy John surgery very quickly and DH. I mean, Ohtani did that, and everybody thought he was crazy. Why wouldn't you let him just sit out the whole year? And then he won the MVP. So if Judge can hit and he says he's fine and he's cleared by doctors, he will DH for them. That's going to cause a bit of a logjam for them because if he's DHing, Giancarlo Stanton probably isn't playing. There's been talk about putting him back in the outfield while Judge is limited to DH duties. But every time they put him in the outfield, he gets hurt. So that's a little bit of a dangerous situation. Wouldn't be surprised if we see the Yankees acquire a right-handed hitting out day and a half. Not a huge bat, but somebody who can help fill the void while Judge is limited to DH duties.
Mark, last question for me. We had a debate earlier in the week. If Cal Raleigh hits a bunch of home runs in the next couple months, do you think if he got to close to 60 or above 60, that would be break into TV worthy. How big a story is his home run total? I know it Barry will be like Barry Bonds, will be like Judge a couple years ago, or will it just be not that major of a story?
I think if he starts approaching Judge's 62 American League record, that would probably be worthy of breaking in on certainly on MLB Network. I don't know whether ESPN would break in or not. It probably depends on what they had going on at the time. But look, everybody loves Kyle Raleigh. He's a big personality, great nickname, and won the Home Run Derby. And he's on a team that's fighting for a playoff spot and is actually relevant this year. And so I think, the catcher record for home runs is 48. Barring an injury, I think he's going to break that. I think he's at 41 right now. But I think he'd probably have to get to 58, 59 before you start really thinking about this becoming a huge national story. The most interesting part of Raleigh to me right now, depending on how long Judge is out and what he looks like when he gets back, Raleigh actually could steal this AL MVP award because the Mariners are hot. They're in the playoff race right now. I think they're in a wild card spot. If I remember looking at the standings the last time I did. And if he leads them to a playoff spot and Judge sort of falters down the stretch because of this elbow, Raleigh could sneak in there. I mean, he's a great defensive player. He won the Platinum Glove as a catcher. So I think, to me, the MVP is now all of a sudden an interesting race.
Mark, last one for me is in Atlanta with Ronald Acuna Jr. and the Achilles situation. This has just been a nightmare season for the Braves. I mean, they are just just floundering here. Is this a bad moment or anything foreshadowing anything more for Atlanta?
Well, they've got most of their core locked up to long-term deals. So we're not going to see any kind of big sell-off from the Braves. Marcelo Ozuna, Rossell Iglesias, there may be a couple of guys moved. But all of their big guys are signed. Acuna himself admitted that he's worried about this Achilles injury, and they're obviously going to do more testing today and see sort of what's going on. But it would be just a huge blow to them if he has to have another surgery, certainly, and misses another year or another part of a year. This is one of the most electric, best players in the game. I heard after the game last night, I guess Brian Snitker said that he had felt a little tweak in it the night before, which leads me to believe, why was he out on the field last night? If he said he wanted to go, he was fine, but the Braves aren't going anywhere this year. They're not headed to the playoffs. And if you have a guy like Acuna, who has a history of injury, major injuries, I don't know why you mess around with that. I mean, obviously everybody's just keeping their fingers crossed, that nothing here reveals itself to be some major injury. Cause for a guy this talented, he's won an MVP, he's put some amazing numbers up there. The Braves and baseball need that guy on the field.
Mark, we have a tradition every time you come on. I have to let you mention once your football fandom. I know you're wearing a t-shirt if you're watching us on YouTube now.
Yeah.
It says 1982, 1987, 1991. I know why those years are significant.
Yes, so do I.
Are your Commanders going to be add 2025 to that list? Washington football, you got to be feeling yourself right now.
I wore the shirt just for you, Perloff.
I know it.
That.
But why are you wearing a Miami Hurricanes hat? Why are you wearing a cane?
My son's going to be a junior there, so we're part of the Canes family now. Once you start paying tuition, you're allowed to root for the team.
So. The least they can do is give you a hat.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, they didn't give me the hat. I had to buy that too, but that's okay. I don't know if we're adding 2025 to this t-shirt, but we're feeling pretty good. After 30 really, really awful years. I think, Andrew, I met you. We were working together probably in the first five. Actually, I think we were working together when Snyder bought the team. So you were with me right when the downhill started.
Oh, yeah. And I thoroughly enjoyed that. I mean, yes, at least
sure
the Eagles were making Super Bowls. Yeah.
I'm sure you enjoyed last year's NFC title game. It actually didn't bother me that much because I didn't think they had any chance of beating the Eagles. The Eagles were a much better team. But I will tell you, after a list of quarterbacks that's just shameful, having Jaden Daniels out there every week just gives you a fun feeling when you turn on the TV on Sunday at 1 o'clock that you have a chance to win the game, and really that's all you can ask for.
I'm gonna be a snitcher. Maggie's thinking about fading your Commanders.
Sorry, Mark.
I'm not sold that they're ready to go. I mean, people are talking about them as being the team that's gonna topple the Eagles in the division and all that. let's settle down. Keep Jaden healthy. Let's get the defense a little better. Let's get Terry McLaurin signed. How about that? That's number one right now. Get Terry McLaurin signed. We need Terry McLaurin.
Well, I love it. You're working 20 hours a day on the trade deadline, and you're fascinated with Terry McLaurin. That's awesome.
Well, of course.
Wow, Jaden Daniels.
You're a fan, but you know
I've got my Adam Schefter notifications on. I got to find out. You know, I'm texting my friends who cover football. I'm like, can they get Terry signed already?
Well,
so, and they're texting me, what are the Mets doing? So, you know, it's a little back and forth.
Yeah, it's a little give and take. You know, Prof said I'm fading the Commanders. My last big NFL prediction was that Nick Sirianni was going to be the first coach fired, and he ended up winning the Super Bowl. So maybe you don't have to throw so much behind my prediction.
Well, all right, fade us away. Go for it.
Mark, thank you so much for doing this. Mark Feinstein, you can read him, MLB.com. You can watch him on MLB Network. We know it's a busy time, Mark, so thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate that. Okay, we've got nicknames to get to. Unfortunately, Cal Raleigh, the big dumper, did not make our bracket of 64 of the greatest sports nicknames of all time. But we are down to the championship has been set. And you will get to vote on who has the greatest sports nickname ever. We got details for you next.
He was telling me that he could, you know, you grow your hair out, I could cover it up a little bit and make it look like you got a regular, you know, haircut. So I tried it. And he just made my stuff look like shoe polish up there, man. This is like 5 years later, and I'm still hearing about it. Trust me, I done heard it from my teammates, from my girl. Like, I done heard it from all my homies growing up.
It's Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
Great job, guys. Tracking down that audio of Carlos Boozer, someone we were talking about earlier in the show, is on some kind of reality dating show. Had no clue. Former Duke star. And, very memorably tried to fill in his hair and it was basically painted on, and he says that shoe polish. I remember where I was, like, sitting on my couch being like, what's up with that guy's hair? And it looked like a Rudy Giuliani moment where it felt like it could have been dripping down the side of his face. If you remember, the former mayor of New York had that moment. So rough. Although I think it's gonna not hurt him in the dating world.
Oh, no, that bank account, he's going to be just fine.
Meanwhile, his kids, two twins, about to start starring for Duke. Let's get to some sports nicknames.
64 nicknames were entered, but only one will win. It's Maggie and Perloff's search for the greatest nickname in sports.
Pearl, Final Four happened yesterday, so we've got some results for you.
Oh, my God. This is massive.
Can you believe we're here almost at the very, very end? So yesterday in the Final Four, one half of the bracket was Mean Joe Green against Air Jordan. It was all Jordan.
It became personal with me.
66% of the vote to 34%. And it's funny because Mean Joe Green had been killing it. He had really been, as a one seed, just mowing down the competition. But so had Jordan. And when it was mano a mano, Air Jordan advances. Then, in the other half of the bracket, a great streak came to an end. The Fridge, William Refrigerator Perry, as a nine seed, Cinderella story, really, in this nickname bracket, had also just been just dynamite, but loses to the one seed, the great one.
The great one!
So, Wayne Gretzky against Air Jordan, the great one against Air Jordan, in the title game.
Yeah, I mean, it is poetic justice that the Fridge got farther than Walter Payton's Sweetness after, famously, the Fridge stole a touchdown from Payton in the 1985 season Super Bowl. Amazing. It fits, right? Michael Jordan versus Wayne Gretzky.
I mean, this is my childhood, basically. Remember that All-Star Cafe? Wasn't it Jordan, Gretzky? I forgot who else was involved in that. Anyway, this makes a lot of sense. The greatest basketball player of all time, the greatest hockey player of all time. Two great nicknames.
Yeah. Is there anyone in this whole field that you were surprised that you thought? I thought, first of all, I think Black Mamba got a tough draw to face Air Jordan in the Sweet 16.
Yep, that was tough.
I swear I thought Johnny Football was going to kill him, and then he got slaughtered in the first round. I like the cleverness. I don't. The great one, is that? I mean, we were talking about there's two kinds of nicknames, like a good one for a great player, or like the Pillsbury throw boy, which is really clever. And I feel like the greatest player factored into this very, very heavily.
I think it did also, which, you know, you want to maybe divorce the nickname from the resume, but it's really, really hard to do because I don't think Air Jordan is one of the greatest nicknames, but I know we have some sound here. Can we play it, Manny? This is David Falk, so famously Michael Jordan's agent, on coming up with the Air Jordan nickname for Nike.
I said, look, we may be willing to do it, but you have to come up with a name, and it cannot be Michael Jordan. I literally wanted to strangle him, Darren. I mean, I was so frustrated. It literally came to me in probably less than a minute. And I said, okay, we're going to call it Air Jordan. And he said, why? I said, Air because Nike has just developed these new running shoes that have an Air technology that's supposed to cushion your feet, and it's a double entendre in the way Michael plays basketball in the air.
Wow, so you said just came up with it. Amazing. And it will be Air Jordan against the Great One. Here is Wayne Gretzky telling the story of getting the nickname the Great One at the age of 10.
I was 10 years old. A reporter from the London Free Press came down and did a story on me. I scored 400 goals that year.
Oh, my and goodness.
He said, you know, at the end of the article, he said, NHL guys have one nickname, Mr. Hockey, the Golden Jet. And they said, we should just call him the Great One. Well, my dad tried to kill that right away, and it just kept coming back and coming back. And finally, I just was like, well, we're going to have to live with it.
Man, that's a great story, but I hear that. I'm like, oh, we should have the Golden Jet in our 64. How do we not get Bobby Hull in there? Golden Jet. We did have Mr. Hockey. I'm not going to take any more smoke from the Detroit fans after I picked Steve Yzerman on my Mount Olympus over Gordie Howe.
What was the one this morning that you were worried about?
Cool Papa Bell did not put in the field of 64.
Yeah, it's funny. You know who did not perform well is anybody who was playing 100 years ago.
Red Grange or the Galloping Ghost.
Yeah, we didn't have any of the old names. Did anybody get far out of the old names?
Oh, the Great Bambino.
Bambino, yeah.
Yeah, so that was probably one of the main ones that went far. It's tough.
Great Bambino!
But the, when Cool Papa Bell played, like, everybody was known in baseball by their nickname, right? Like, we don't even know how, even more modern. Does anyone know Whitey Ford's real first name?
No clue.
Oh, yeah, the Great Bambino.
What is his first name?
I have no idea.
Pearl. You asked the question like you knew exactly.
No. Sorry. His name is Whitey. Yeah, right?
Charles Ford.
Yeah.
His name is
Whitey. I was impressed that so many people knew George Herman Ruth because I had forgotten that. Like, George Ruth. If I say George Ruth, you're not like, oh, the greatest baseball player of all time. But I say Great Hambino from the Sandlot.
The Hambino. Very funny.
Yeah. Anyway.
The Great Bambino!
It's open. Go vote. It's the title game, if you will, the greatest sports nickname of all time, as voted by you. So go vote for either Air Jordan or the Great One.
Of course. I thought you said the Great Bambi.
Bogush, what do you have?
Well, we are still waiting on Trey Hendrickson to make an official appearance at Bengals training camp this morning. His holdout expected to end without an extension, but showing up is apparently a show of good faith from Hendrickson. Ravens tight end Isaiah Likely said to be dealing with a small fracture in his foot after getting hurt at practice yesterday. He could be back for week one. This week's NL Central showdown has been one-sided so far.
First pitch. Breaking ball. Hit high. Hit deep. Left center. Bye-bye baseball. The legend of Andrew Vaughn keeps growing. A grand slam. You have got to be kidding.
Andrew Vaughn, the Grand Slam. He drove in six total in this 9-3 Brewer win. That's 2 days, two wins over the Cubs. So Milwaukee leads the division by 2 games. And they have the best record in baseball this morning at 64-43. The Tigers once had the best record. They're now on a 3-game win streak after dropping 12-13. They dropped Arizona last night 12-2. The Jays losing twice in Baltimore, while the Yankees held off the Rays 7-5. So New York is now 4 games behind Toronto in the AL East.
World Series back on, guys.
Juan Soto fouled a ball off his foot in the Mets 7-1 loss in San Diego. Made an early exit, but x-rays were negative. Soto's day-to-day for now. A little worse news for Ronald Acuna Jr., the Braves right fielder going on the IL with right Achilles pain. It started running the bases on Monday night, then aggravated playing the field in last night's 9-6 win in Kansas City. The Grizzlies and Magic will play games in Berlin and London in January as part of the NBA's European invasion. Manchester and Paris will host games in 2027, then Berlin and Paris in 28, with, of course, those teams to be determined.
Are you fond of that?
And in the WNBA last night, Maggie threw a neon green adult toy onto the court during the Valkyries Dream game in Atlanta.
Fake news.
This happened during a play, which finished. Then took a few minutes for security to sort things out, the refs as well. Then Golden State got a 77-75 win. Asia Wilson had 34 points and 10 boards. The Aces beat the Sparks 89-74, but LA did have Cam Brink making her season debut after tearing an ACL 13 months ago. She played 13 minutes, 5 points, 3 boards. Back to you guys.
I saw the first shot she hit, I think, was a 3,
was
right?
A 3, yeah.
That's pretty cool. Have you guys seen the press tour that Luka Doncic is on right now?
No, I saw the Men's Journal.
Yeah, he's got the Men's Journal
men's
cover.
Journal. What's it called?
Men's Health.
Men's Health, right.
He looks pretty shredded. He's definitely skinnier. And it's like this whole revenge bod tour. He was on the Yes Network the other day at the Yankee game. We saw him dapping up Aaron Judge. We actually have some audio from that.
Bogus loved that interview, by the way. I got a personal text message saying that he loved it.
Here is Luka talking to the Yes Network about his new bod.
After that deal was made, the Mavericks got a lot of criticism regarding it. And then they start to leak out stuff. Well, we don't know if he's ever going to be in shape. You should mail him a copy of the Men's Health magazine.
They probably saw it, so. I don't have to worry about that.
Ooh, yeah, the question is this just a revenge bod, which we all know someone breaks up with you, you know, all of a sudden, either because of your grief or because you get motivated or what have you, you get in really good shape. Is this a revenge bod, Pearl, or is this a whole new Luka? Is this just, you know, has he turned a corner and he's going to be one of the best and most well-conditioned NBA players?
I don't have to worry about that.
I would imagine he turned a corner. But, you know, the one thought in my head, remember when James Harden during COVID, there were all these images of him in the gym, just looking shredded, working so hard. Then he showed up in Orlando and he must have been 30 pounds overweight.
Gosh.
So I just think that if some people do put it right back on. But I'll tell you, Joker lost a lot of, I'll call it baby fat, and turned around his career by getting in shape. So I think Luka can definitely do it.
Yeah, I kind of think this is just a revenge bod. I do. And I hope I'm wrong. I want to put a Luka MVP bet on, like, now. I don't know if the market's already moved after this Men's Health cover story, but I kind of feel like this is just somebody who is feeling a little burned by the trade. Obviously, the Mavericks were getting it out there that it was too much hookah and too much beer. I mean, that's got to be a big blow to the ego. You're as motivated as humanly possible. But we saw this with Charles Barkley. Like, there were times when Barkley got in really good shape, and then he would kind of go revert back to just who you are. I don't know if it's
going to be... He had a pretty
be,
good run, though.
Who? Barkley?
Charles, yeah. From, like, 91 through 95. Like, he
I'm
kept it off.
I just think that, you know, I think it can be hard to maintain, especially, let's say, the best case scenario happens for the Lakers, right? Luka wins MVP, say they win the title or something like that, or they go to the finals or what have you. Okay. Is he going to feel like, you know, then do you start slipping a little? It's like if you have a revenge bod, but then you get the good bod and then you start dating somebody else, do you start incorporating a couple more donuts all of a sudden and you just kind of get back to yourself? Because it's here's my last thing I'll say about it. It's not like he had a health issue. You know, it's not like he had a health scare where all of a sudden it's like, you have to change your lifestyle or else bad things are going to happen. He's just gotten shape, decided to. That could be a yo-yo.
So your concern is the motivation. If he just wanted to be healthier, you'd like this better than, because this feels temporary to you.
Well, my
and
question
Victoria, definitely a secret.
If you know, why did this happen when you were just with the Mavs? Like, you made the NBA and now it's time to get your body right. It definitely, there's a catalyst here. There's an actionable thing that happened. Him getting traded, blindsided by the trade, the Mavs, like, you know, calling him out, and now he's changing it. Like, I don't know if that sticks.
But don't a lot of players change their bodies halfway through their careers? I don't think that's too uncommon a story. If they win a title, then they'll probably say, go to the buffet all you want, right? Like, I think one title pays us off in a major way. And, you know, he scored, by the way, to get MVP, he scored 33.9 points a game a few years ago and was third in MVP voting. He has a high bar. You know how I feel about Luka. Like, first of all, that if he's scoring 34 points a game, they're not winning anything. But that means that nobody else is doing anything on the Lakers, right? He's got to be a little bit more of a distributor. Also, I think the NBA is going to cut down on these I think NBA has an issue with foul merchants, and Luka is like basically a tall righty James Harden. He needs to get all those calls. So, and now that he's skinny, is he going to get every single call? Like, are you going to be able to push him around a little more? I'm just really curious what the new Luka, is he going to blow by you? Is he going to be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? Like, who is the new skinny Luka on the court? Is he the same player? Different player? I'm dying to know.
And there's one other thing on Luka too about the motivation, Maggie, is remember, it wasn't just the Mavs that came out. Remember, the first thing after the season, what did J.J. Redick say? We got to get in championship shape.
Yeah.
We got to get in championship condition. And it seemed like these were direct shots at Luka Doncic. So I think that as long as J.J. Redick is going to be his head coach, this is always going to be front and center for his Laker career unless they get rid of J.J. and then someone else comes in and they don't care as much. But J.J. made it clear that this is a priority.
That's so funny you say that. Like, I don't think J.J. Redick has already established himself as a long-term Lakers coach. Feels like, because what's going to happen? What happens when LeBron leaves?
Great question. They said that, didn't Luka like J.J.? Didn't J.J., they have some kind of overlap, no, with the Mavs? Am I wrong about that?
They might have. The J.J. got traded there. I think he didn't like it. But I mean,
he didn't play much.
I think they had a relationship though. But that's a fair point. I guess I don't see as J.J. Redick now having the gravitas to tell a great player, hey, you have to get in shape. Maybe he does. I think Luka's doing this because the Mavs said you drink too much beer. And I think he took it personally. And that's great. I just wonder, do you keep it off? Does this mean this is who you are for the next 10 years? I don't know about that. 888-710-4ISN. Bogish, thank you so much. We've got lots more to do, including, did one team find their secret weapon? Wow. Some very, very encouraging things coming out of camp for the Packers. Tell you about it next.
He had a shoe marker on top of his head.
He hooped in the game, sweating like a motherfucker.
And got it lined up.
That's the crazy part.
Crazy. I subbed in the game, and I just looked at him the whole time like, that really got that on his head.
It's going to be a good day with Maggie and Perloff.
I'll tell you what, Jeff Teague, who you're just hearing there, his podcast, he's like Forrest Gump a little bit of the NBA. Like, he's talking about this memorable thing that we sort of stumbled upon, Carlos Boozer painting fake hair on his head for an NBA game many years ago. And he, of course, Jeff Teague was playing in that game. Very much getting the Forrest Gump vibes from him. Welcome back to the show. So as far as training camp stories go in the NFL, Pearl, you always want to get a little, you know, want to take a grain of salt. You don't want to get too over your skis or whatever these other cliches are about guys playing well. But yeah. Matthew Golden for the Green Bay Packers had a standout highlight one-on-one. Jesse, you were talking about Moss and guys the other day. Fantastic. And you know what? It's not that surprising that he'd be getting rave reviews. Jordan Love said the chemistry is fantastic, and he could be and maybe will be the secret weapon for the Green Bay Packers, a team that we expect to be very good. Maybe Super Bowl right there. I think they are a Super Bowl contender.
Really?
Matthew Golden as a rookie could be a big part of that receiving core.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they've never gone first round for receiver.
Yeah, really. Aaron Rodgers was begging for it.
They had, what the heck's that guy? Javonte Walker was the last one. Decades ago. So I love Matthew Golden in Texas. I kind of thought he fell a little further than he should have in the draft.
He's a little smaller, right?
Yeah, but he was big time productive in college and super, super fast. So I loved that pick. And I think Super Bowl feels a little rich for the Packers, but I picked them last year. So shows you what I know. I might just feel burned. I think that when you're looking at that division, are they really better than Detroit, Minnesota, and Chicago? Like, can you see them going Aaron Rodgers style 13-4? I can't. I think it's so competitive. All those teams are going to be around 10, 11 wins. Then we'll see what happens in the playoffs. But yeah, I agree with you. Golden will be a major factor.
You know, the funny thing about Green Bay is I think sometimes we think that, you know, Lambeau, which I think is a great home field advantage, but let's not forget, you know, when Aaron Rodgers made his one and only Super Bowl appearance and win, they were a wild card team that year.
They lost that cold game to the Giants. They lost a snow game to the Niners. They were not great at Lambeau the last several years.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if the Packers need to put together a 13 or 14 win season to still be considered a really dangerous team and a potential Super Bowl contender, because we've seen them go on the road. And if not for... Wasn't it raining like crazy when the Jordan Love kind of had his breakout performance against San Francisco. Well, first against Dallas, but then against San Francisco in the divisional round a couple years ago. And it was just like the weather was heinous. But
yeah, the weather was held up and then it started raining and they blew the game.
Right. But I do think that doesn't bode well for him, but maybe there is a reality there where you don't have to have home field, right? And maybe playing in Lambeau is not the best thing.
But I still think
they're dangerous.
Did you feel like they were fading pretty fast last year? I know they made the playoffs, but of all the NFC teams, they felt maybe the least dangerous.
Well, I thought the whole season was kind of weird because the Jordan Love injury, and then he kind of re-aggravated it. And to be honest, I think there was a pretty dicey / terrible call that happened to them early on in that Packers-Eagles game, and I think it threw them off a little bit.
Oh, get out of here.
I'm just saying.
It's not even that Eagles game. It was the end of the season. I just felt like, Jordan Love came back healthy, and they looked really, really good for a stretch. And then I thought towards the last quarter of the season, they did not look dangerous.
I don't think how last season ended, though, is necessarily a precursor to what they're going to be now. And, you know, Jordan Love one more year, if he can be healthy, as opposed to last year when he got hurt literally the first game of the season, but the last play or the last drive right before they have to get back on a plane to Brazil. So I still think there should be a lot of Packer love. I'm not sure why there's not more.
But I'll put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Just instinct. Who would you rather invest in, the Lions or the Packers in the NFC North?
I'm actually going to go with the Packers here, and I'll tell you why. Number one, I do want to see what happens when the Lions lose both of their coordinators. That is not a small deal to me. Two, I want to see what happens with the Vikings with a basically rookie quarterback. I know J.J. McCarthy's in his second year. But let's say you don't talk about a team that fell apart at the end of the year. How about the Vikings? And then three, let's see what's going on with the Bears. Can Ben Johnson coach a game as a head coach before we anoint the Chicago Bears as like the winners of the NFC North? I think that the continuity is really there in Green Bay more than anything. And now they've got Matthew Golden, who looks like he could be a contributor. So, I think the Packers are going to win the division. And, you know, I wonder if Detroit blew a big opportunity last year. Really big. I know their defense was hurt, but all those guys now are coming off of injury.
You know? I don't know if there really was an opportunity without Aiden Hutchinson. I mean, that's a funny thing. When he went down, we immediately said, there goes their Super Bowl chance.
They kept winning, though.
Yeah,
still the number one seed. That happened like midway through the season.
And then Aileen McNeil, probably their second best defensive player, went down. It got bad. And then like six other guys went down. If they had pulled that off, they would have had to score 100 points a game. Actually, what worried me the most was that Goff had a big fumble in that game. Goff finds a banana peel in playoff games. Maybe he'll mature and get over that. I was originally down because, you know, I love Ben Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to think that maybe they can still have an electric offense. To me, the issue is going to be like what Aiden Hutchinson is playing, because he's still recovering a little bit. If he's full on... He was amazing. Remember him before? Like, he easily would have been Defensive Player of the Year because they couldn't figure out anyone to give it to last year. They gave it to Patrick Surtain, but I think that is underrated. I would probably bet you on that one, do a little show bet. I'd lean Lions over Packers, although, I picked the Packers to win it all last year. It goes to show what I know.
I want to update you guys on a poll question because I'm a little surprised on the early results. We asked, if you count as college and pro career, do you consider Tua Tagovailoa's career a success? 55% say yes.
Yeah, won a title.
Won a title and one of the all-time moments of, you know, replacing Jalen Hurts at halftime. No one's ever going to forget it. But, you know.
I mean, he's been pretty good. Here's the thing, too. I think we all have the same view. It's like, he's pretty good when he's out there. I mean, does anyone not think he's an effective quarterback when he's playing?
Well, not if the weather's cold. I mean, that's a part where you could be totally healthy and you are ineffective just because of the weather. That's not great. So 55% to 45% say yes if you count college and the pros to his career as a success. You can also vote right now on the greatest nickname of all time. The two of the number one seeds advanced to the championship round. Air Jordan against the great one. And right now the great one is leading by a nose. Chris is in Lexington. Chris, you have a baseball question for us. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Maggie and Pearl. Great show as always. As I was telling EJ, I think I've called in another, I'm Pittsburgh native. So I would love to be on actually making a call one time, actually saying, wow, wonder what Pittsburgh's going to do as far as buying.
Yeah. Buyers at the deadline. Yes, it's been a long time.
It's been a very long time, Maggie. And what I wanted to parallel it to is, and I don't know, and it may take a lot to get it done, this sport needs a salary cap or at least a salary floor so bad. And what I want to parallel to is to my hometown Penguins. And I've had a lot of issues with Bettman over the years, but the smartest thing that ever got done when they realized in the 90s, as the 90s went on, there started to be what there is in baseball now. Yes, you have a Kansas City every once in a while, but let's call it what it is. There's five or six teams that legitimately have a shot, and that's what hockey became.
Yeah.
It was Detroit because of the Ilitch money coming from Caesars, and it was New York, and it was L.A. We almost lost our team. And finally, in 05, when they got that salary cap done, because hockey was, I don't want to say on its way out, but the parity was so little, and I want to liken that to what I hope happens in baseball. So legitimately, someone in a market like myself can actually realistically, without being delusional, be excited about their baseball team.
Man, Chris, it sets up such a dilemma, right? And thank you for the call. Thanks for making it. I feel for fans like Chris who have been rooting for the Pirates. They shouldn't have to give up your rooting interest just because you got bad owners, because they definitely can't afford it. They're just choosing not to be contenders, right? So for guys like Chris, it's not his fault he's got a bad owner. He shouldn't have to give up his fandom. So you want there to be a salary floor and a salary cap for fans. But at the same time, I also don't want to bail out the billionaire owners who are just choosing not to pay guys and...
Well, yeah, but if you have a salary,
stifling their earning power.
But you're not bailing them out. If you put the salary floor in, you're making them pay in Pittsburgh like three times what they're paying now.
Yeah, but it's still like if a guy like your guy Bryce Harper or Shohei Ohtani or Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, shouldn't they just be able to make whatever the market deems they're worth? You know, so it sets up this tough dilemma because I feel for guys like Chris, but I also think these players should get paid whatever they feel they're worth.
Can you do a salary floor without a salary cap? Probably not. I don't know why not, but...
And it'd be hard. Negotiation like that? Because their owners are going to say, well, we're giving you something. You got to give us something.
But the owners... But this is the owners against the owners. Like the Yankees owners could say, hey, we're going to stop giving you all that TV money if you don't start spending it. Like they could easily make that rule.
To stop revenue sharing?
No, they could say, we'll revenue share, but you have to come up to a certain payroll.
Mm.
But because you have to make moves to protect the viability of the league. I'm sure this has happened at some point, and there's been all kinds of leagues. You know what I would put in here?
What's that?
Relegation, of course.
Yes, love it.
Baseball relegation. Can you imagine how intense the last 2 weeks of the season would be? Oh, it'd be amazing. The Pirates probably would be buying now because relegation, goodbye TV money. You're playing in Binghamton.
I know,
now
I was going to say,
my language.
You literally have two teams playing in minor league baseball parks this year. You have Sacramento, and I know it's for a terrible reason, what happened in Tampa Bay with the Storm. The guys are playing now, the Rays are playing at Steinbrenner Field.
Yeah, I mean, if we had relegation, the A's would be stuck. They'd stay in Sacramento. There'd be no reason to even go to Vegas because they would not make it.
I am pro relegation in all sports outside the NFL because it's not a real minor league, but bring relegation everywhere. Hockey, basketball.
Well, all the players have to go back to college if they have one more year eligibility.
Congratulations,
you're playing at Alabama again.
Yeah, exactly.
They'd probably love it. Imagine if you could tell guys on the Browns, like, sorry, you have to leave Cleveland. You know, we love Cleveland, but like, you're winning two games a year, three games a year. Now you get to go back to Alabama, be a big man on campus and get paid and win a championship again.
Shamar Stewart probably would have gone back to college.
Yeah, right, to Texas A&M.
But I love the way, so the players still get their full salary when they get relegated? Is that how it works? Do the players lose anything? I guess they probably do.
Players do lose wages, yes.
So you'd have a guy making $30 million a year to play in Binghamton. Yeah, that would go off a long way.
Economy in Binghamton would instantly get a huge boost.
Relegation, let's bring it on.
Love my hometown. Thank you, DJ Stewart and Manny Rodriguez. Thank you, Andrew Bogish and Andrew Kaplan. Thanks to Mark Feinsand, who joined us early in the show. You can download the Maggie and Perloff podcast. Of course, you can always use the rewind function on the free Odyssey app if you missed any part of the show. And we will see you tomorrow. Weedos!